What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. Hope everybody's doing good out there. It's been a pretty busy week for me. Got a lot going on, working some extra shifts and whatnot at work, so this might be a little bit of a shorter episode, but I do want to get something out for you guys with spring football kicking off right around the corner on Monday. I know it's only the spring period, and they've been going through the tour duty workouts already, but this is kind of our first look at the 2023 version of this team with the added transfers and the incoming freshmen and the departures that have already made their way off the roster. So it is still an exciting time, even if it is a brief period. Obviously, we know it's going to kind of all lead up to April 15th, which is the spring game or Garnet Gold game, whichever you want to call it. So it's still an exciting time just because football is back in the air, and it's always an exciting time, especially when you have a team that has a lot of high expectations and a lot of hype around this next season. So you kind of get an idea to see what they are going to, maybe a little glimpse into what they're going to look like in 2023, because there is still a lot of change that could happen post-spring. Guys who don't feel like they're going to start could still hit the portal. That's likewise for other teams. You may end up picking some guys up from the portal who maybe aren't going to start at their program. So there's still a lot of attrition, a lot of change that could happen. So we're going to get into what I'm going to be looking for throughout the spring session here. Now, before we get into that, a couple of little things that I want to touch on real quick. We did see where Florida State announced the extensions of all the assistants and coordinators recently. I think most notably, you locked up Atkins through 2026. Now, of course, there's buyouts and they can all leave, whatever, but you pretty much got everybody through the 2024 season, which is, I mean, that's a good thing because you're adding the stability, you are adding the continuity, which is something that a lot of other programs have attacked you for in the past, saying that Norvell might be fired and things like that. You know, he's now signed through 2029, and you've locked up a lot of your other coaches for multi-year contracts. So it is good. You know, now Florida State moves into being one of the most stable programs in the state, especially with all the turnover and kind of starting over, rebuilding. You're seeing going on in Miami. Florida's losing some guys. So to me, it's just like that added continuity is going to be an edge in recruiting and on the field because you're not having to make a lot of changes. So, you know, you also bring back a lot of the production that you had last year, and you didn't really make any major coaching changes. So it's just kind of keeping the train rolling instead of starting over. So that is something that I like, that I felt like we should touch on. Obviously, kind of the talk of the town lately has been conference realignment, with AD Michael Alford's comments recently about they got to do something. The ACC has to do something. Now, if you guys know, if you listen to this podcast on the regular, even going back to, I think, one of my first five episodes last year where we talked about the conference gap, the money gaps and things like that, this is something that I've been talking about for years now. And it's finally the proverbial, you know what, has finally hit the fan. And I feel like Florida State is looking for a way out. It's probably going to be a little bit because they still have the grant of rights and it's a huge buyout. But I think that this has been a shot fired across the bow that something has to change. And I've heard some rumors about maybe, you know, ESPN's looking at protecting their investment and not blowing this whole thing up to the point where they may give some extra compensation to teams like Clemson and Florida State. I've heard Miami's asking for more money, which is kind of a joke because they don't really bring anything to the table as far as TV-wise. They were down like in the 50s, almost 60th in TV viewership, I believe. And of course, if you're Florida State, you're going to take any little bit extra they want to give you, whether it be $10 million, $20 million, or something like that. You're going to take that. Because realistically, the thing is, when you look at teams like Clemson and Florida State, those are really the only two teams in the ACC that have competed on that national stage. Now, maybe you could say Virginia Tech, but that was before they hit the ACC. And that goes for Miami as well. So, you know, you're looking at the two main programs that carry this conference, and Clemson has really been more of recent than anything. Florida State's kind of carried it for a long time. Now, I know they've been down for a few years, but, you know, you have teams like NC State and all these other teams, Miami and Louisville, who they are, you know, they're solid ACC teams. They compete in the conference, but they've never really won anything nationally. But you have teams like Florida State and Clemson, when they're good, when they're at their best, they're competing against the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Ohio States, those type of teams. And when you're at a 20, 30, 40, soon, I think we talked about in one episode where it might be up to like $50 million revenue gap by 2029, I think it was, it's just getting hard to compete. You could get members of your staff poached. You can't quite put the same into recruiting budget and things like that. So it is very important for these schools that compete nationally. Now, you could go to an unequal revenue model in the ACC, which is also something that's been talked about. Yeah, but we actually talked about that in the last episode where about the Florida State brand remains strong. If you listen to that, it could also weigh those other schools down, like it could keep them from coming up and elevating the whole ACC, which we always say a rising tide lifts all ships. But at the same time, those schools have a history of not putting a lot into their football programs anyway, just because they have a year of success here or there because they're veteran laden and things like that. They've never really done things like Florida State and a Clemson to try and compete nationally and put a lot of money into their football program. So to me, it's kind of like you put in, what you're putting in is what you should get out. And they said that Florida State puts in, they drive about 15% of the revenue and they return about 7%. So it's really, they're getting a raw deal. And I think it's finally nice to see a real athletic director and a president who has his back. And, you know, the staff that's in place and everything, for them to actually go out and put this on Front Street, so to speak, and be like, look, this is an issue. And we all know the ACC is a sinking ship. And, you know, when the ACC kickoff came last year, we heard a lot about the new commissioner, Jim Phillips, coming from the Big Ten and how he was supposed to be, you know, maybe this guy who could right the ship for the ACC. But in his statements at the ACC kickoff, it really kind of was embarrassing. I mean, it sounded like a guy who had no plan for the future and knew this ship was sinking. You know, it ended up kind of, it looks like the ACC is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, as they say. You know, you can do what you want, but the ship's still headed downwards. And so I do think at some point, you know, Florida State and Clemson will find their way out of the ACC whenever they can find a way to get out of the grant of rights or come up with the money to do so. So that is the kind of the hot topic right now. We won't go into like too much detail because, like I said, I got to make this episode relatively quick. But, you know, it is something that we'll have to keep our eye on going forward. Obviously, you want to end up somewhere like the SEC or the Big Ten. You know, I think the Big 12 could be an option, but to me, that's not really worth the move right now. I like the SEC just because of the regionality and the brand matchups and things like that. I think, you know, once they go and reevaluate their TV contracts with Texas and Oklahoma, you know, if you added a Florida State and Clemson, you could ask for a lot of money because you have basically all the big brands, you know, outside of what the Big Ten has. Now, to me, it makes sense for the Big Ten to try and snap these teams up to give you a footprint in a different market. You already went out and got some West Coast teams in USC and UCLA, so they've expanded their footprint. But we all know college football runs through the South, and that is where they have a void. So at the same time, while, you know, you would feel like Florida State's a natural fit in the SEC, to me, as a business decision, it looks to me like the Big Ten should be the one to make the move, you know, if it's financially reasonable for everybody. It wouldn't be my preferred choice, but again, like I said, you have no footprint in the South, and you could get two big programs, you know, in this region. You might could even grab someone like a Miami or something like that. But I think something's going to happen in the future. Like I said, it's probably going to be a little bit because you're going to have a lot of litigation. You know, they were even talking about the state of Florida getting involved in things and maybe even South Carolina. So like I said, there's going to be a lot of legal red tape to go through, a lot of financial talk and things like that. But it is something we're going to have to keep our eye on. And so the last thing, baseball, hey, they're looking good, man. They beat TCU. They got the series win against TCU. They lost the last game by one run. They just, in extra innings, beat South Florida. This team looks really good. You know, they got some more things to figure out, of course, but it's early in the season under a new staff, so they're going to get all that stuff going. Basketball, still an absolute train wreck, but I can't go an episode without mentioning the glorious upset win over Miami. They gave up the largest lead ever blown by a top 25 team, and John Ruiz, the Miami mega booster, had to watch it front and center as the team basically celebrated in his face. So it was a very glorious moment, if not the only glorious moment for the basketball team this season. But I just feel like I couldn't go without mentioning that. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into what I'm going to be watching for in the spring. Of course, there's a lot of things that you're going to look for. You're going to watch as a whole and this and that and the other. But to me, there's some main points that I'm really going to be focused on looking for from this team. Now, I don't live in Tallahassee, so I'm not going to be able to be at practice. You're going to kind of have to go off some of the reports from the people who are there. I wish I could be at practice. I just can't, not right now, maybe next year or something like that. But so point number one I'm looking for is Florida State to look like a polished team. You have a lot of veterans on this team. You are returning a lot of your production. I believe it's the most production returned in all of college football at around 87 to 88%. You know, in 2022, you had a lot of guys who were veteran players, but they really hadn't been in the starting role yet. You had a lot of transfers coming in. You had a lot of, like Jordan Travis wasn't, we knew he was going to be the quarterback, but he had never been solidified in that role. You had, you know, who was going to be your running back? Was it going to be Trayshon Ward? Was it going to be Trey Benson? And things like that. So you had some positions to figure out. I feel like this year, a lot of your positions, quarterback, running back, a lot of the wide receiver positions are pretty much already set. You know who your core group of guys are. Now, there could be some movement on the depth chart. Who's going to get the start? Who's going to be the number two? Things like that. You've got some new positions and new players on the offensive line that you've got to figure out, as well as defense. But to me, you should look like a polished team. This, you should be able to jump into more advanced preparation versus hammering on the basics. Now, there are going to have to be, you know, there's going to have to be a focus on some of the basics. That's going to be how you shake the rust off. You obviously, when you've had the offseason, you want to get back through the basics, but you can work through them quickly. I know the younger guys who are just coming in, they will have to, but I believe Florida State last year kind of separated the young guys to have their own practice to begin with so they could get the veterans on the page that they need to be. So, like I said, you just don't want to see a lot of the minor boneheaded mistakes, penalties, misalignments, things like that from a very veteran team. You should be able to jump in right away to your more advanced preparation. And that was something that they said last year was a lot of their guys were in place by spring. They were a lot of early enrollees from the transfer ranks and everything. So it was able to give them a bit of a head start in preparation. And we saw how that paid off during the season. So that's another thing that they should be able to look forward to in 2023. So like I said, you have a lot of your positions that are already set. You have a lot of, you know, new transfers coming in still that are going to have to get on the same page. But these are veteran guys. A lot of these are grad transfers, upperclassmen who should be able, you know, they're already in shape. They've already played college football. They just got to learn your system. And so I do think that will be a benefit for Florida State. Like we talked about before, the continuity and, you know, just the steadiness of the ship should be a benefit for Florida State this year because they don't have a lot of changes like a lot of other programs do. And so you can start working more on install and things like that in the spring. So I think that should benefit them. And that's one thing that I'm going to be looking for. Up next is going to be the overall health of the program. We saw a lot of guys like Bless Harris, Winston Wright. You saw Fabian Lovett miss significant time last year. You saw a lot of players last year that missed time. You also saw some guys like, say, Dennis Briggs, for instance, who came back from a significant injury, who had to have surgery, and maybe he didn't look fully like himself until the end of the season. So you just kind of want to see where these guys are at. Are they at 100% now? Are they ready to go? Will they be able to get the advantage of having that early spring where everybody's in place? Did you have any guys in the offseason have to get minor surgeries to get things cleaned up? Because that happens a lot in sports where once the offseason comes, you have to get a little surgery to clean up some cartilage or things like that. And then how close to 100% are they? Your probably top transfer defensive tackle, Braden Fisk, he's coming off of an injury as well. So I just kind of want to see how this team looks health-wise. The other aspect that I'm looking for from a health perspective is how they're going to handle load management, because we have seen in the past where Florida State lost some players during camp. Now, injuries are inevitable. People are going to get hurt. It's just part of playing a physical game. But when you have a veteran team like this, you know that you need these guys present. You know how much it hurt you to lose Fabian Lovett last year. So to me, you got to instill a little bit of load management. Now, you want to keep the physicality up. You don't want to let guys get out of shape or, you know, lazy or something like that. You want to keep the physicality up. You want to keep them in shape. But, you know, there should be some degree of load management to keep these veterans healthy and fresh because you need them for the type of season that you're hoping to have. So to me, you got some young guys that you need to get some work on. You got some veteran guys that already know the system. So I think I'll be interested to see how they instill some load management over the course of the spring. So the third point that I'm looking at, and probably the most intriguing to me, is the secondary. You got some new faces. You got Ventrell Cypress coming in, the top-rated cornerback. You got Azaria Thomas, who's a freshman who got a lot of burn last year, and now I think he's going to be a guy who steps into a starting role. You have a lot of depth there. You have guys like Greedy Vance, Jerrion Jones, Renardo Green, who are good players that could all easily see the field. You got Duke Cooper, who's making a move to safety to help fill the role that Jamie Robinson played there as an excellent safety for you. You know, you still have Travis Jay, but we haven't really ever seen him live up to his full potential. So you have Shaheem Brown back there. You know, you're pretty much good with Akeem Dent, but you got to find that other guy. So that gives you kind of three guys to work through between the three that we just talked about to fill that spot. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. On top of that, you also have a new position coach in Patrick Surtain. Now, to me, I think this is nothing against Marcus Woodson. I think that's an upgrade at the position because you have a guy who played DB at a high level himself. So to me, I think you're going to see guys be able to get their head around and play the ball better. So to me, you know, he has a lot of talent to work with, despite seeing some guys regress last year. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of lay everybody out and how they play differently under Surtain. I think you're going to see better play from your secondary next year. So that is something that I'm really interested to see how they look in the spring. And last but certainly not least, I'm going to be keeping an eye on the transfers because you have a lot of transfers at crucial positions, especially in the trenches. Look at all the offensive linemen that you brought in. That's really, you know, you have to replace Dylan Gibbons, who was one of your best guards. You know, as of right now, we know Dimitri Emmanuel is able to come back. I don't know if that's like fully concrete or not. You also have a tackle, you know, Bless Harris. He might be your starter. He might not, but he's back from injury this year. So you have some guys that are going to be shuffling. We never actually saw him play in a game, so we don't know how he's going to be. Is Jeremiah Byers going to step into that role? You know, we saw the initial video of Casey Roddick at tour duty. That's a large human being. That's someone you may want to find a way to get him on the field, you know, if he's the best one for the role. So also in the defense, you have Daryl Jackson. You have Braden Fisk, like we talked about, if he's healthy enough to go in the spring. So you have a lot of these transfers that I'll be interested to see how they transition. Now, one thing I talked about in the article that I wrote that you can read on the website about this is I don't have any doubt that this coaching staff can evaluate transfers and talent, evaluate talent at the transfer level. I'm not sitting here looking whether these guys can play football or not. We already know that. They have multiple starts at other programs. We know they are good football players. What I'm looking for is, are these the type of guys who can put Florida State over the top for what they're looking to do in 2023? Is Fentrell Sipas going to be that lockdown corner? Is Braden Fisk going to be able to be that guy coming from a school like Western Michigan who can be another penetrator on this offensive line, or excuse me, defensive line? Are these offensive line transfers you got, are they going to be able to fill the role of Dylan Gibbons without having that drop down? Those are the things I'm going to be looking for with the transfers. Not really whether they can play or not, but will they be the guys that kind of boil Florida State over the top to have that kind of successful season in 2023? So that's really the main things that I'm looking for over the course of spring. You know, this is like a very early look. You still got to see some guys get acclimated. You're going to see them do some experimenting with positions, you know, and the depth chart. You're going to see mostly the guys just getting the fundamentals down, getting the install down. You know, all the fine tuning really comes in fall. But you're going to be able to get a good idea of what you have in the cupboard to work with here. So to me, I think this is a very important spring for them. It's a very crucial spring because you have very high goals. You are trying to achieve a lot of things. And in 2023. So to me, you have to make the most of this. You have to put yourself ahead of a lot of the other teams that have new changes in place, which is something that kind of, you know, held them back, but something that Florida State had to deal with in the past, not having the most continuity. So now that this year that you have that, I think that's something you need to be able to use to your advantage and get guys up to speed quickly and go ahead and start your advanced preparation. But that's going to be some of the things that I'm going to be watching for. And then I'll, like I said, ultimately, we'll see how things play out in the spring game on April 15th. I hope it's a little better than last year. It was kind of a weird spring game last year, you know, starting out with red zone and throwing like multiple interceptions. And it was just kind of a weird layout. We'll see how things go this year, but we'll have to just keep an eye as practice reports come out and how things go. I think they are actually doing Mike Norvell's pre-spring press conference today, so we'll kind of get what kind of insights and comments he has to make about the spring session coming up. But like I said, guys, this is just going to be a quick episode, just covering some highlights so I can get something out for you guys before spring starts. That's the main things I'm going to be looking for. Obviously, there's a lot more that we'll have to see. But again, that's really the highlights that I want to see from this team is just being a crisp and polished team that looks healthy, I would like to see the secondary take that step forward under the new coaching with some new faces and some position changes. And then I'd like to see the transfers be able to come in and be the dominant players that we expect them to be. You know, like a Jared Verse, we came in, we thought he was going to be great, and he was. So if you can continue to hit on these transfers, because not everyone's been hit, but most have, then I feel like that's going to put you in a really good position for 2023. So with that being said, guys, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit of a short one. I'm off next week, so hopefully I will be able to get back with a more full length episode for you guys. But hopefully you enjoy this episode. Like I said, it's a little quick hitter just to kind of prep you for spring with what are some of the things I'm going to be looking for. As always, guys, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support, and go Noles.